Blog Talk Radio.
The Origin of the Enneagram, coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Stay tuned. And welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so glad you are here with me today. We're going to be talking about the origin of the Enneagram. Now, let me tell you, there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to know more about yourself. As a matter of fact, the most thing that people like to talk about is themselves, whether they're having a good day or a bad day, whether something spectacular happened, whether something mundane happened, doesn't matter. We love to talk about ourselves. But the Enneagram asks questions like, what is your number? And you may have a wonder, like, what do you mean, what is my number? And then you start to delve more and more into the self. But people are using the Enneagram as a personality assessment tool to know more about themselves, which is okay, or is it okay? What is the origin of the Enneagram? So with me today to discuss that is my good friend Marsha Montenegro from Christian Answers for the New Age. And if you want to get more information about her ministry, go to ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. Marsha leads the way in letting us know about the New Age subtleties that creep into the church. So many people have no idea that a lot of the things that are creeping into the church have origins in the New Age. And this is what she does. Sometimes she gets flack for it. Sometimes she's applauded for it. So what she does, what God has called her to do, is bring this to your awareness. Now, I know some Christians may be using this tool and saying, hey, my faith in God has not been affected by it. My faith is, I still believe Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and my faith is strong. We understand that. But one thing Marsha has said before in the past is, do you really need a technique to get closer to God? Do you really need a tool to get closer to God? Or is it simply relationship with the Lord and with our Savior? So those are some of the questions we're going to be answering as we talk about the origin of the Enneagram. We're going to be talking about that, so make sure you call in at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965, and then press 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Today we're talking about the origin of the Enneagram. This is a personality assessment tool that people use to know more about themselves, utilizing numbers. But what is the origin of the Enneagram? What does it actually mean? Some people say that the Enneagram has Christian context. Does it really? We're going to be discussing this and so much more with my guest co-host and contributor today, Marcia Montenegro. As I said at the beginning of our broadcast, she is from Christian Answers for the New Age, and she is going to introduce herself right now. So, Marcia, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Jennifer. I mean, I'm going to call you Parker. I'm sorry. I tend to fall into the Jennifer identity. Yeah, I'm doing great. And thank you for having me as a guest again.
No problem, no problem. I always enjoy having you because you always bring such insight into these topics. And one thing I noticed that a lot of Christians, when you touch on something, they feel that helps them, even if it has a nebulous origin, they really don't care because they feel good about it. For example, we've talked about the problem with yoga, and there are so many Christians who say, I don't want to hear about it. I love yoga. I love the Lord Jesus, stuff like that. Or we say, don't go into meditation. You know, don't go into that. And people say, look, meditation works for me. I don't want to hear about it. And so a lot of times you come up against people who say, look, I love the Lord, and He is my Lord and Savior, and we're not knocking that. We're not doubting anyone's salvation. But one thing you all have often said in the past is, do you need a technique to get closer to God, or is it a relationship that you have? And we can use that just with ourselves. Do I really want someone to use some tool to get closer to me, or do I want them to come to me and talk to me? You know, we don't mind having them in the meeting and say, hey, you should meet Parker J. Cole. She's right here. There's nothing wrong with that. But do I want to get, you know, a divining rod to find Parker J. Cole? You know, we don't want to do that. So that's why we have these topics and stuff like that. If we want peace, do you really want to use a technique for peace? We want to go to the peacemaker who gives us peace that passes all understanding. So there's a lot of things here that we're talking about. And one thing, I have come into some flack for having you on the show talking about those things that people love. But like I told you before, you ain't going nowhere, Marcia. You are staying right here with me until the Lord calls me home. And with your shows, you bring such enlightenment. And I use that in a good way, not the New Age way. You bring such enlightenment to these things, you know. And so that's what we're talking about, the origin of Enneagram. Some people may not even be aware of it, and some people may be like, oh, I just swear by the Enneagram. Like, wow, really? So let's go ahead and get started. But before we do that, introduce yourself, you know, give us a truncated version, because you've been on here many times before, but just in case someone doesn't know you, go ahead and give us a truncated version of who you are.
Okay, the truncated version. And I do want to add, I appreciate you having me on, because as you say, sometimes my stands I take are a little controversial, or at least they're not popular. So anyway, so I appreciate you being willing to kind of go into the fray with me there. Yes, I do have a background of 20 plus years in the New Age, involved in various aspects of the New Age around, you know, people who were into the New Age. I became a professional astrologer after I had already been involved in following some Eastern religious practices and beliefs, Hinduism, Tibetan Buddhism, and then finally settling on Zen Buddhism. At the same time, exploring the paranormal, talking to the dead or the supposed dead, you know, seances, taking a psychic development class, going to psychics, knowing psychics, etc. So my world was really encompassed by a whole range from, you know, mediums to psychics to astrologers to hardcore New Agers into Gnosticism, etc. And I followed that path for many, many, many years, had many experiences. I felt that I was being very spiritual. And I was being spiritual, but it was not a spirituality from the true God. And I had a New Age Jesus and a New Age God as part of my theology. And the Lord intervened. And after I had already been quite active in the Astrological Society, I'd become president, and I was chairperson of the Board of Astrology Examiners, which formulated and graded an exam so that you could be qualified to purchase a license to practice in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I was living at the time. And the Lord intervened, and it's a story in itself. And so I do have that on my website at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. You can click on one of the tabs at the top about Cana and then look down on the menu there, and it will say Marcia's detailed story. And that gives you a story. Plus, there are many, many interviews I've done on podcasts and YouTube giving my story. So I'm not going to go into that there. I'm not going to go into that here. But so I do have a background in this. And several years after I became a Christian, after the Lord opened my eyes to the true Jesus, and I turned away from all of the former beliefs, the Lord started giving me opportunities to speak and share my story and talk about the New Age, and that eventually resulted in full-time ministry. So I have been doing full-time ministry since 1998. I can't believe, you know, mm-hmm. this is the 21st year of full-time ministry. I can't believe it. And and so time really does go by quickly. And so I have, of course, I've learned a lot in my ministry. And as I see things coming along in the culture that are popular, I start addressing them, especially when it doesn't appear that they're very spiritual, and but I know they're New Age. And some of that gets into the church. So I've usually been, my ministry seems to have focused on things like that. When they're kind of, before they're really popular or well known, I start warning about them. And so there always seems to be something coming down the pike. And, you know, what, I think that I've addressed everything, and I think, well, what else could possibly happen? And then something else comes along. So anyway, that's my story, and that's what the Lord has me doing. And I just want people to know I do have a Facebook page called Christian Answers for the New Age. And if you like and follow it, you can keep up with my posts on the New Age.
One thing that you do too, Marcia, is that you tackle these very popular movements. And there are Christians who are very sincere. And that's why we always preface our shows with, hey, we're not doubting your salvation or anything like that. We're not even saying
right.
you don't have a relationship with God. We're not saying that at all.
No,
but we are making you aware that there are things that can turn your eyes away from him while you're steadily trying to seek him and draw closer to him. One young lady, as I was posting the show about on my Facebook and all my social media outlets, said, if you want to get your eyes off of Christ and onto self, there are plenty of tools out there to help you. And she says that in a derisive way when she said, and she was like, thank you so much for talking about this topic. And that was from Sarah. And she said, thank you so much for talking about it, because we want people to be aware that what you find titillating that you find titillating isn't always good for you. And it would be wrong, I would say, Marcia, if you didn't warn people about these things. It's different if you didn't know. That's something else. But if you know about it and you don't do something about it, that's the difference. And so with that, let's get into our topic about the origin of the Enneagram. For example, right now, until you mentioned this to me, I had no idea what you're talking about. As those of you know, I'm a writer. I am stuck in my own fantasy world half the time. And sometimes I only watch the news. It's like, who wants to watch the news? It's horrible. It's just horrible news. Someone's arguing about something. Someone died. Someone did something horrible. I don't want to always put that in. You know, I want to write my fantasies and my romances. It's happily ever after. And the sugar plums and chocolate trees, you know. But at the same time, you know, Marcia, you always force me to surface from my head in the sand to bring about, and I'm always glad to do that, especially it's because I don't know that I think a lot of people will benefit from this. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about the Enneagram. What exactly is the Enneagram? I know it's a personality assessment tool that people are using, but go ahead and give us a more detailed explanation of it.
Okay. It is the way it looks. It is a diagram numbered 1 through 9 clockwise, numbered clockwise, and 9 is up at the very top, and there are lines drawn from the numbers to other numbers, which all has a meaning. And so that's what it looks like. So it's this diagram, and then the question that you're presented with is, which number are you? Which number describes you best? Which number, you know, is what you're dealing with? Now, here's the interesting thing. It's not always consistent as to what the meaning is. Sometimes I've seen it presented as the number is what sin you're dealing with. I've seen it as the number is like your true essence, your true personality. The number is, you know, how you see yourself, how you behave towards others, et cetera, et cetera. They're all, and then there are nuances of that. So, you know, how it functions is not always going to be consistent. The interesting thing about this Enneagram, there's actually several interesting things, is that it's not ancient. It is constantly presented as an ancient tool, and neither is it Christian, because it's also been presented as either an ancient Christian tool or a Christian tool, usually with origins going way back to at least something like the 4th century. And this is how it's presented. Now, the way people are using it is different. Like, some people have said, well, it's just a personality thing so that you know who you are and how to, you know, see yourself so that you can handle relationships with other people better. But it also has been presented, including in the church, as a spiritual tool, as a way to grow closer to God. It has a spiritual purpose so that you can be more who God wants you to be. And I've even seen the Enneagram presented as a picture of Jesus, that Jesus is all nine types. Each of these numbers is a type. Yeah, I found an article online from somebody in a church on Jesus as the Enneagram. And then recently I saw something about God is the Enneagram, and God brings all nine types together. And he's the whole, you know, W-H-O-L-E. He's the wholeness of the Enneagram. I find these ideas very alarming because they're completely unbiblical. First of all, you're using this Enneagram thing, and then saying in some way these types represent God, when we don't even, you know, it's kind of like, wait a minute, you're putting the cart before the horse. First, we have to know, is there any validity to this thing at all? If there is no validity to it, then you can't say it represents God or Jesus, not to mention you can't have a diagram that's going to represent the quote-unquote personality aspects of God. I mean, this is like making God in the image of man. And so there are lots of flaws with that view. And the same thing goes for trying to make Jesus the Enneagram. But because of its rapid rise in the church, and honestly, I didn't expect it to get in so quickly. I noticed that it was beginning to. Here and there, people were mentioning that they had heard about it, or someone in their church was doing it, or thought it was a good idea, or they went to a workshop. And then all of a sudden, it began to just proliferate, and people said, oh, you know, now we do the Enneagram in our church, or our youth group is doing it, the youth pastor is doing it with the youth group. Our women's Bible study group is doing it, or we're reading one of the books on the Enneagram, especially the one called The Road Back to You, which I do want to talk about that in a bit when we get further down the road here on the authors of the books of the Enneagram. So if we go back and look, and this is what has been my journey recently. I've been doing a lot of reading and research on this, but let me first point out my very first article on the Enneagram, which is on my website. I wrote in 2011. And when I wrote that article, that was 8 years ago. And when I wrote that article, at that point, it was mainly being used in like Roman Catholic retreats. It had gotten into the Catholic Church via a few people, including a Jesuit named Bob Oakes, O-C-H-S, who got it at a New Age Institute called Esalen. Mm-hmm. And that's where he got it from. And I'm going to go further back than that. But it, so I knew at that time I wrote it, it was in the New Age. I knew when I was in the New Age, it was in the New Age. Because Helen Palmer, who's a New Ager, wrote a book on the Enneagram that made it very popular in the 80s. And so New Agers were into this. And then I kind of didn't think about it for a while because I didn't really hear about it that much and it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't out there in a visible way. But I wrote my article on it because I had been asked about it by somebody and I thought there should be some information, and I read a lot and then wrote this very detailed article about the background. I also saw that it was being taught by a man named Richard Rohr, and I'm going to go more into him. And then it was taught by people who had studied under him, like a woman named Suzanne Stabile, and she was saying it had Christian origins. And so I got curious about it because I thought, and she said it was going back to this monk named Evagrius Ponticus. Well, I thought it was very strange that a 4th century monk would be interested in formulating a personality test. You know, it doesn't really go with the, you know, I am not an expert on ancient history, but the ideas that we have now about personality testing and what's my personality like is a pretty much a modern or a contemporary kind of thinking that comes from psychology. And this kind of thinking wasn't really around. People didn't go around that much. They did have the four humors, and that goes back to the Greeks. And so you were one of these four humors. But that's pretty much all I know about that. And you know, I don't think people were as much into their personality anyway. So when I looked into it, I found there's absolutely no evidence at all that this monk had anything to do with it. He was doing charts of the seven deadly sins, et cetera. And another claim is that this man named Ramon Lull did the Enneagram or came up with it, and he did do all kinds of charts. There's a book called Ars Brevis, A-R-S-B-R-V-E-I-S, Latin, and he wrote it in Latin. Ramon Lull, L-L-U-L-L. And he did do charts, but they weren't the Enneagram. He was charting the seven virtues and the seven deadly sins. And I have a friend, Dr. Ronald V. Huggins, looked into this. He can actually read some Latin. And so he was looking in Lull's book. Yeah. And I put a quote here from Dr. Huggins in my article called The Enneagram. So I have the Enneagram, my first article, 2011. Then recently, in March, I added an article on my website called The Enneagram Has No Christian Origins. So I need to say that. And in that article, I quote Dr. Huggins, and he says Lowell is using these charts for these seven virtues and seven deadly sins. And in another book he wrote called Book of the Gentile. And so he's charting these kind of things. And also another thing Lowell was trying to do was trying to chart things to show the Trinity, to show the nature of God for Muslims. He was trying to explain or prove the doctrine of the Trinity, because now if I remember correctly, and I need to check on this, I think he was in Spain. And there were, you know, Moors there and Muslims. And so I think that was what he was coming into contact with. Anyway, he was trying to, that was one of his goals. And Dr. Huggins confirmed that, or actually told me that. So he had nothing to do with that either. So it doesn't come from him. Now, here's the problem. Some Christian books that are popular on the Enneagram in conservative evangelical churches claim that it has some Christian origins. And so this claim has been made by for example, Lifeway and some other Christian sources that it's ancient and that it's Christian. I think LifeWay mm-hmm. changed part of that and said it wasn't Christian origins, but it was ancient. It's not ancient. So let me continue on down this road, because I'm trying to hopefully not confuse people and try to take one thing at a time here.
Well, let me take a quick break. I want you to pause on this. We take a quick break really quickly, and then that'll help you kind of solidify your thoughts a little bit as we continue our discussion on the origin of the Enneagram. And as you were listening to Marsha, she was letting you know that, first of all, it's not an ancient technique. It says contemporary. There are some reasons for you to be concerned thinking that it is of Christian origin, because it's not. And she's going to get into that on the other side of the break. So we'll be right back in just a few moments. But if you want to call in and weigh in, you can call in at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking today to Marsha Montenegro from Christian Answers for the New Age. We are talking about the origin of the Enneagram. And Marsha, once again, thank you for being with us. One of the things that you did clarify for us before the break is that you have to understand that it is not a Christian origin. But one thing that Marsha wanted to let you know, that it is not an ancient tool. This is rather contemporary. And she was giving us resources that you can look up yourself to discover the origins of the Enneagram. So go ahead, Marsha, and continue with your thoughts.
Okay, thank you so much, Parker. Yes, so I have discussed that it's not ancient. There's no evidence for that. And it does not have a Christian origin. Now, what we do know is that it started, or the idea of it started, with a man named George Gurdjieff. And George Gurdjieff was born in the late 19th century, I think it was 1878, did most of his teachings in the early 20th century. He was raised Eastern Orthodox, but he did not practice that at all. He was just raised that way. He went on spiritual journeys, so to speak, and came in contact with people of non-Christian faith. And in fact, he wrote a book about it called Meetings with Remarkable Men. And they made a movie of this way back in the 80s. I'm not sure who made the movie, but it played at a little art house theater in Atlanta. And I knew about Gurdjieff as a New Ager, and this is when I was in the New Age, and I went and saw the movie. And I was extremely moved and inspired by it. I walked out of the theater and felt like I had just been in another world. I felt this kind of spiritual tingling. It's very hard to describe. It's the kind of thing in the New Age where you feel that you've been in contact with something very spiritual and very enlightening that has sort of awakened you. And that's how I felt when I walked out of that movie. And I was like, oh, wow, that was just wonderful. And there was a lot in the movie about his supposed contact with Sufis. Sufism, just in case people don't know, is a mystical branch of Islam. Mm-hmm. It's basically from Islam, but then they have their own mystical practices. So it's kind of like Islamic mysticism, and they're very much into doing things. They're the Sufi dancers dance to get into a trance, and supposedly they have all of these esoteric teachings, and that is what Gurdjieff claimed that he'd learned some of these teachings from them and from other groups. And so he started teaching. He became a spiritual teacher and had a following, quite a large following of people who came to him, and he was teaching all of these esoteric things. And then later he had a student named P.D. Uspensky, O-U-S-P-E-N-S-K-Y. I'm looking at the word in my head as I spell it. Uspensky. Uspensky was a very brilliant man. He was very scholarly, and he became a follower of Gurdjieff. And so he got some of Gurdjieff's teachings, of course. And then he laid out, supposedly Gurdjieff had the idea of the Enneagram, but only the three basic areas of the Enneagram. I've seen this on, I've gone to a lot of websites on the Enneagram, and most of them have head, heart, and mind. And the nine numbers, you know, there's three numbers in each one. So one area is head, one's heart, one's mind. This supposedly, these three areas came from Gurdjieff, and Uspensky then laid out, made it more specific. And although not personality types, it was based on Gnosticism, because Gurdjieff and Uspensky were esoteric Gnostic teachers. And the whole idea of the Enneagram was to get to your divine essence, was to see that you had a divine self. And that's why my first article on the Enneagram is called The Enneagram GPS Gnostic Path to Self. And so the idea was to use the Enneagram as a tool for spiritual awakening. And this is very common in the occult and the New Age, that you draw things with numbers and different charts, and supposedly these all represent these esoteric teachings, and you use these as tools. And so it's very typical for an esoteric teacher to have something like the Enneagram. It's not surprising. And this was how it's used. Now, what happened is that it came about after Uspensky and his book on all of this. His books were not published until right after his death. They were published by his wife. And, of course, then there were people who followed, you know, his ideas. And so one of them who supposedly was following Gurdjieff and Uspensky was a man named Oscar Ichazo, I-C-H-A-Z-O, a very interesting character, to say the least. Ichazo had an occult school called Arica, A-R-I-C-A, for the city that it was in Latin America. I can't remember, you know, it's gone off my mind now which country it was. I'm thinking Chile. And Ichazo had a school there, and where he taught all of his many esoteric ideas. I think he was probably drawing from a lot of Gnostic and Eastern traditions, and he was drawing supposedly from Gurdjieff's ideas and Uspensky's ideas, including the Enneagram. And he, too, was focused on these three areas, but here again was teaching it in this very New Age kind of way. Along comes a man named Claudio Naranjo, who was born in 1932. He becomes a student of Ichazo. Naranjo is a psychologist, and he's also a very, very smart man, like Uspensky. And he takes the ideas of Ichazo about the Enneagram, and he makes the nine types. Now, he's credited with that, and he says that he did it. It's possible that someone had the idea of nine types before that. It's possible Gurdjieff talked about nine areas. But here again, it wasn't about the personality. It was a Gnostic worldview. Naranjo, being a psychologist, took the nine types and made them more into psychological assessment. But I just found this out like less than 2 weeks ago, just in time for this program. Naranjo admits in a video, which I posted about on Facebook, and I now added the link to my article, the Enneagram, is both of my articles on the Enneagram, I've added it in there, where Naranjo, who's still alive, said that the way he got the nine types was partly through his own observations as a psychologist, but mostly from automatic writing. Mm-hmm. Now, he just comes right out and says that. And it's something he's proud of because he's a New Age psychologist, he's a New Age occult psychologist. And he's talking to he's on this program. I don't know who the host is. They don't give his name. Who's apparently also into the Enneagram and into the New Age. And he's proudly talking about how he got this with automatic writing. And he also admits that he and Ichazo had both falsely claimed the Enneagram was ancient because this is something they had taught. And he admits on the program it's not ancient at all. This comes out actually before he admits part of it comes from automatic writing. This is quite a revelation. I mean, this is a real bombshell here. It completely smashes all of the lies that are being told about the Enneagram in the secular books and in the Christian books and by the Enneagram Institute, which, by the way, is New Age. The Enneagram Institute is a New Age institute started by two New Agers. They have changed their website at least three times, and I did a post on that too. Once the Enneagram started getting more popular, especially in the church, their website changed. And even though they have a page where they talk about some of these New Age people like Naranjo and Uspensky and Gurdjieff, it's not as spiritually oriented as it was when I first wrote my 2011 article. So it's very interesting, and this is true for a lot of New Age type websites. They've gradually over the years tried to appear more secular and use secular, especially psychological language. And so here what we have now is a diagram that's not ancient, it's not Christian, it's not really about the nine personality aspects, and the information on it, which mainly came from Naranjo on the nine types, came mostly from automatic writing. So what we have is something that has no validity whatsoever, especially to a Christian. Now, to a New Ager, it might have a lot of validity. I can see it as a former New Ager saying, oh, well, if he got part of it from automatic writing, then, you know, there's some kind of wisdom there because New Agers believe in getting wisdom that way. They believe in getting wisdom through esoteric occult sources. You know, if it originally came from Gurdjieff and from the Sufis, then there's some kind of hidden inner wisdom there. So, yeah, for a New Ager, it has validity. But certainly not for anybody who wants to see things through a Christian worldview. Now, the other thing I'm going to point out, I want to say a couple more things. Naranjo was also part of Esalen. He became quite a figure there. Esalen, for those of you under the age of, under the age of 50, you may not have never heard of this, but if you were around a little longer than that, like myself, Esalen was a huge kind of a psychology self-help institute in California. It still exists. And a lot of New Age ideas mixed in with psychology came out of there. It was kind of like a factory for New Age ideas for the culture. And then it swept into the culture through both secular and New Age channels. And Esalen was it's where Gestalt therapy came from, the therapy where you scream. This used to be a therapy where you would get your feelings out by screaming. All of this stuff came from people at Esalen. And if you Google Esalen and go there, it's very New Age. I mean, it has pictures of people, you know, doing these meditations and doing these very esoteric yoga type activities, etc. This is still a very New Age place, but it had a huge influence on the culture in the 60s and the 70s. And Naranjo was a big part of Esalen. And so because of him and his formulation of the Enneagram, it went out from there partly through this man named Bob Ox, who was a Jesuit priest, and he took it into the Catholic Church. And so it was initially, now I'm not saying the Catholic Church ever gave official approval to it. In fact, I think there are quite a few. The first criticisms of the Enneagram I came across, which was before the internet, Okay, it was before the internet when I first researched this. I first researched this in the 90s because I was asked to help some missionaries in Austria who were dealing with it there, probably in the Catholic Church. And so they, I got the request, Marcia, do you know anything about this? And I managed, I don't remember how I did it, I found a very detailed booklet on it by a Catholic woman, a Roman Catholic woman, who wrote a critique of it showing how esoteric and occultic and New Age it was. And that was my first real source on it of any substance. So the first critics of it and were the Roman Catholics. And there's another man named Mitch Pacwa, P-A-C-W-A, who wrote an article on it that was in the Christian Research Journal. And there's still Catholics who criticize it. So I'm not, I don't think it's officially endorsed. But it got into the Catholic Church, and that part stayed for a while before it got into the evangelical church. Now, how did it get, I want to say a couple more things just so people understand how hardcore New Age Ichazo and Naranjo were. Ichazo supposedly got information from somebody he called an archangel named Metatron, who's also a figure in the esoteric Gnostic Kabbalah.
But,
and,
I'm sorry, did you say Megatron or you said Metatron?
Metatron.
Oh, I was say, what does Transformers have to do with anything?
Yeah, no, it's Metatron, M-E-T-A, I mean, and well, he claimed this was a state of consciousness. It wasn't an actual being, but personally, because of what he was involved in, I think it was probably a spirit guide. Both he and Naranjo were into using what we call psychedelic drugs, hallucinogens that, you know, which give you these hallucinations, these drugs. And they both use them. There's a video on YouTube where Naranjo is interviewed. And part of the video, the last part of the video, it's like about an hour long, he talks about his trip into the desert when he was studying under Ichazo. And he meditated and went into these states, these altered states of consciousness that were very bizarre. Of course, he thinks they were spiritual. And he goes into long descriptions of them. These people are like hardcore esoteric occult New Agers. That's how I characterize them. So after Naranjo's teachings get out through Bob Ox into the Catholic Church, eventually this man named Richard Rohr, who's a Franciscan priest, writes a book on the Enneagram. I've not investigated where he got it from, but I'm sure because it was in the church through Bob Ox, probably from there. Richard Rohr wrote a book that made it kind of a popular tool to use. And so it was out there with Richard Rohr, and people who liked Richard Rohr knew about it, and the book made, you know, it sold very well. Some Christians who like Richard Rohr, who are not Catholics, also got interested in the Enneagram that way. So these Christians that we tend to call progressive Christians started using the Enneagram, and it started being promoted at conferences. And then, you know, and that's when I really noticed it was getting into the church. And then all of a sudden, like in the past, my goodness, like the past 6 months, it has just swept like wildfire through conservative evangelical churches. Apparently at the Catalyst Conference, Andy Stanley has given his endorsement to this, to the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. And according to one person, and I haven't been able to confirm this, so I can't say it's definitely true, although I don't think the person made it up. He urged pastors to, you know, take the Enneagram back to their churches. Now, it's in conservative evangelical churches, and this is very alarming to me. And here's the other thing I want to mention: the books that came out after Richard Rohr's book. The first one I know of was The Road Back to You by Ian Krohn, C-R-O-N, and Suzanne Stabile. Now, Suzanne Stabile I knew about when I wrote my article in 2011 because she was teaching the Enneagram. I found her online. She's the one who claimed it goes back to this 4th century monk. She studied under Richard Rohr. And Ian Krohn, I don't know if he studied under him, but he has done workshops. Both of them have done workshops and conferences with Richard Rohr, as has the other Enneagram book called The Sacred Enneagram by Christopher Kuritz. He and his wife, Felina, are very much into contemplative spirituality. He talks about the Enneagram as a spiritual tool to help you get closer to God. He also, his wife, has taught at Richard Rohr's Institute, and Christopher Hurwitz credits Richard Rohr as one of his teachers of the Enneagram. Now, the reason this is important, I'm showing here how it links back to Richard Rohr for a reason. Richard Rohr is a heretic. And you know me, that I do not throw that word around very often. I don't know that I've even ever used that word on your program.
No, it's the first time.
I think it's the first time. I don't say this unless I'm, first of all, I'm sure, and that it's based on the fact that he is teaching error about the nature of God. And he has a heretical view of Jesus/Christ. And the reason I have to say Jesus/Christ is that he makes a distinction between them. So I have to either say that, or I have to say he has a heretical view of Jesus and a heretical view of Christ, because they aren't exactly one and the same for Richard Rohr. He has quite a messed up biblical view of Christ. I do have an article on my website on his book, The Universal Christ, which goes into detail. But he believes that the first incarnation of Christ was creation.
Now,
Yes, I'm serious. This is actually like a quote from him. He said it several times on podcasts. He has it in his book. Yeah, that's not me making a conclusion based on things he said. That's actually what he said. First incarnation, he'll often say, well, Christ first came as the Big Bang. Now,
oh,
he said
word.
That. I first heard it that way on an interview he did called The Cosmic Christ that I found on YouTube a number of years ago, and I did a post on it. I didn't really understand what is he talking about here, but as I listened to him more, and then finally when I read his book, and I've done a lot of reading of him on his blog, I've listened to, I don't know how many hours of interviews that I've listened to from Richard Rohr, but quite a lot. Yes, so this is what he believes. The first incarnation is creation. The second incarnation was Jesus. And then there's going to be a third incarnation, which is within us, when we realize, you know, Christ is in us. Because he believes, he's a pantheist, and he uses that word, and he uses it frequently. He's not shy at all about it. He believes that God/Christ is in creation. And creation is in God. Now, he doesn't say Jesus is creation. He's not a pantheist, but he's a panentheist. So his view is that everybody is in Christ already. So there's no need for this, I need Jesus as a savior. He completely rejects that. You don't need Jesus as a savior because we're already in Christ. You just have to realize it. You have to come to the realization.
Let me interrupt you here, Marcia, because it's really something how that's what New Age does. New Age really puts the focus on self. And the reason why is goes back to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. I'm going to read just those versions, KJV, because I like the KJV version, not because I'm a KJV only. Basically, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And here particularly, I like this part, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever.
Right.
Amen. And this is just another, what's what I want to use, another way of how we do that. You know, we put ourselves as God, because people think, oh, we're going to eventually get rid of God. And God keeps saying, you can keep trying, because God is all powerful. You can keep trying, it ain't going to happen. And sometimes the Lord lets us just do what we want. That's why he says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. He gave them up for that. And we're not talking about lifestyle changes, stuff like that. We're talking about, you know what, you want to worship yourself, go ahead and worship yourself. Kill yourself. You know what I'm saying? This is what's going to happen
right.
to us. And so that's why we have these type of shows. And for someone to change the nature of God, the one who created everything, the one who is a source of our faith, to turn that into a part of creation. Come on, okay? You know, God breathes into us. He breathes into us his communicable attributes of creativity. He breathes into us his communicable attributes of justice and truth and morality. He breathed that into us, and we want to turn that into something that is part of creation. No. No, that is incorrect, and I say that unequivocally and unashamedly. And for those of you who are listening and don't agree with me, guess what? All right, it is what it is. So I say that because people, the New Age is so very subtle. And one thing you notice as
yes.
Marsha was giving us the history behind this, notice how it went from the New Age, then it went to, got into the Catholic Church, then went into evangelical, then to progressive, then went to conservative. The reason why is because New Age is extremely subtle. It changes with the person
right.
who grasps it. It's not
yes.
It's not like some faiths are very distinct, but New Age is not distinct. That's what makes it its strength almost. It's because it's very nebulous. You can switch it and change it. Whereas God said, yet your yay be yay, your nay be nay. No, it changes. Well, if you want it to be yes, it can be yes. Well, if you want it to be no, it can be no. You see what I'm saying? That is the strength, if I can use that term lightly, Marsha, of New Age. That's why it infiltrates our churches. That's why people are not cognizant of what is New Age until all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, I done got caught up in something I don't think I should be caught up in, you know? And that's what happens when you start to realize it, you know? So that's why we have these type of shows. We know there are Christians out there right now that are using this, and they say, my relationship with God is even better than ever. I get that's what you're thinking and that's what you're saying. But like I said earlier in the podcast, do you really need an assessment tool to get closer to God? Do you really need a third party to get closer to God? Do you really need a divining rod to get closer to God? You know, and so those are the things that we're talking about. We're going to go ahead and take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to get ready to cap off this part of our segment about the origin of the Enneagram. And for those of you listening in, you still have an opportunity to call in at 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be finishing up our topic for the day.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chats. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity, or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, having a wonderful time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Marsha Montenegro. She is from Christian Answers for the New Age, helping you to discern the New Age spirit that creeps into the church. You want to get more information about Marsha, go to her website, simply christiananswersforthenewage.org. And like Marsha expressed earlier in the broadcast, oh my gosh, I've been out for 21 years. How did that happen? So that ministry has been going on for some time. And for those of you listening in, please understand we are bringing this information to you not because we're trying to make you feel bad or anything like that. I think information is key. Knowledge is key. And if you know better, hopefully you do better. Hopefully. I say that hopefully because every time I've known better, just didn't care. You know, like, stop drinking and eating all that stuff. Well, it tastes good, you know. So I totally I get that. So those of you listening in, I hope you are enjoying the conversation. Oh, it looks like we do have a comment from someone. We have a comment, I think, from Sarah. Sarah, are you on air with us? Sarah, is that you?
I am. Yes.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Go ahead and say hello to Marsha and then tell us what your thoughts are.
Hi, Marsha. I am so thankful for what you're bringing out. You know, if you follow the Lord and you just are prayerful about these things, eventually he's going to show you there's a better way. And for me, what I keep running into, people say, well, this just helps you understand other people and how your personality gets along with other personalities well. And I think, yeah, there's some good in understanding how our personalities interact. But, you know, what's even better is learning how to discern when people are putting their hope in something other than the steadfast love of God. And when you start to see that in people, then you become helpful to them in a loving, gentle way so that you help them overcome personality issues and you help them find the real ancient source of life. You know, we want some ancient source to tell us how to be our best selves. Well, there's no one better than Jesus.
Amen.
Right. Jesus for finding life and joy and just learning how to apply what he said, not all of these numbers and intricate pentagrams and stuff. That was my comment.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. You can just continue to listen in as we finish up our discussion here. But thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show today, Sarah. And, you know, I like what she said, Marsha, because she said instead of looking for, you know, numbers to do it, you could find that in the ancient source, if we will, of a Christ, you know, from everlasting to everlasting, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I mean, we could find it in him. So go ahead and remark on that, because I know you wanted to say something about the numbers and how you have to discover what your number is. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. Just to piggyback on what the caller said, Christians need to be reminded, and I need to remind myself daily, forming us to the image of Christ. He can use whatever personality we have for that. Our personality is not important in that sense. What's important is submitting to God, yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to God's word, and God shapes us the way he wants to. He shapes our personality. He uses whatever strengths we may have in his service. So the most important idea is to offer yourself to the Lord, and he will take care of it. We don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to know everything about ourselves in order to serve the Lord. And I think certainly by the time you get to a certain age, you know yourself pretty well. Yeah, you know, I have no interest at all in the Enneagram. Of course, now I know it's completely invalid. But even before I was sure of that, I didn't care what number I might be. And speaking of that, you're supposed to figure out which number you are first. You have to figure out, am I a 3 or am I a 6 or am I a 7? And then you figure it out and then you go from there. And then it's supposed to help you from there. And as far as people saying, oh, well, you know, it's really helped me. I was glad to discover I was a three, and, you know, it helped me understand my husband. He's a two. Well, you know what? Our guide in dealing with people is God's word. And again, since it's invalid, what you're doing is you're reading something into it. Naturally, the nine types are going to fit a lot of people because just like the zodiac, it describes human nature. If you go through 12 signs of the zodiac, they all describe aspects of human nature. Millions of people believe their zodiac sign fits them. This is why astrology continues to have a consistent popularity among the population. Every time they do polls, usually at least 33% of the population says they believe in astrology. Now, that's like one out of every three people. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So you can find people that say, I absolutely believe in astrology because I know I'm a Gemini. Everything about Gemini fits me. Well, and yet we know as Christians there is no validity to astrology, and certainly as an ex-astrologer I know that. But you can believe things. You can see parts of you in some whatever you want. You can let a number dictate who you are. And once you start looking through that filter, you'll start pulling in things that you think fit that. And you'll say, wow, that really validates it. It's very subjective, and it's called confirmation bias. And it's a known thing that happens with things like the Enneagram. And I've actually read that from one source. That's how it works. It's not actually a tool that's validated in professional psychology. This is done like by lay people. This is done by pop psychologists, by people who think they're psychologists. It's done, or unfortunately, by Christians who think they're doing psychology and helping themselves or helping other people. The way we get along with other people is what does the Bible teach in the New Testament? It tells us how to deal with things, with, you know, anger. Put aside anger, malice, lying, do not lie, do not use unwholesome speech. Those are the things we need to know. God's word is sufficient. We can count on what he teaches us and how he guides us on who we should be and how he's shaping us into the, you know, the image of Christ. That's what really counts. And I think once you get into this numbers game, you get just easily distracted and you start filtering everything through. Just like when I was an astrologer and I knew my astrological chart, I started filtering my reality through what I knew about my chart. Oh, my sun is in this sign, my moon is in this sign, you know, I have Neptune in this house, you know, in the ninth house or whatever, and that's why I like this, you know, and I started fitting everything in my life into that, and it seemed so accurate because of that. This is confirmation bias. So we don't need, first of all, we don't need the Enneagram at all. Even if it were valid, we wouldn't need it, but it's not valid. And I wanted to say a quick thing I just discovered, and I'm actually working on a post on this. Suzanne Stabile, who's the co-author of two books on the Enneagram, including The Road Back to You, which apparently is the most popular book in the evangelical church. And I mentioned she studied under Rohr and has done conferences with him. She has written a book on how to use Tibetan Buddhism for Christian meditation. She was a Tibetan Buddhist. Yeah, she was a Tibetan Buddhist nun for 20 years. And then she said she went back to the Catholic Church. But the problem is that the description on Amazon of this book, which I believe was probably written by the publishers, I'm thinking, but the description is alarming. It says, here, I've got it. I highlighted a couple of things here. Throughout, she, meaning Suzanne Stabile, highlights the many remarkable close parallels between the teachings of Jesus and the Buddha. And it says that she has gratefully learned so much from her former religion and now introduces the riches of that tradition to her fellow Christians. Now, this is not somebody I want to trust on anything, especially anything theological. I would not want to read a book by somebody who thinks that you can get riches from Tibetan Buddhism. Tibetan Buddhism is one of the areas I was into for a while. And I can tell you, for me, I can say confidently, there is nothing to learn from Tibetan Buddhism except that it's false. There is nothing to gain from it. Everything in it is based on false ideas, false views of reality. There's no God in Tibetan Buddhism. I mean, there is nothing. You know, she says she's bringing
the
technique.
The thing about Buddhism, too, let me interrupt you really quick because we're getting close out of time here. But the thing about Buddhism, too, is that, you know, the guy who started it, he rejected Hinduism. You got to understand. So he rejected Hinduism during this time. He had abandoned his wife and child to go on this thing, okay? And to me, I'm looking like, okay, so this is the leader of this movement, you know? And so when I found that out, I was rather shocked when I found that out because people kept saying, oh, Buddhism is this. You know, I didn't know because I didn't know, you know? And so when I found that out, I was like, okay, so this is the leader of the movement that everyone says is so great, you know? And then the outpouring of that usually with Buddhists and stuff is that they try to take themselves out of the world. And it's interesting because the Lord said, be in this world, but not of the world. You know, that I mean, take yourself out of it because you have to be change makers and influencers in the world. And one of the things I want to read really quickly, because like I said, we are out of time. One of the things I want to read really quickly is 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he taught the fruits of the Spirit and how if you adapt the fruits of the Spirit, which is difficult, it's a lifelong journey, okay? It's a lifelong journey with the help of our Lord. Then you don't have to worry about, okay, this is my number, or this is my sign, or this is my color, or this is my whatever. And mind you, those, I'll be honest, some things, they're very nice, you know, if you're going to take it very lightly. Like, I like the book, The Five Love Languages. I like that book, right? And the one thing he mentioned was a babbling brook. I'm a babbling brook, okay? I will talk your ear off until you say, shut up, Parker. You know, okay, that's me. But I don't, you know, my whole life isn't on the babbling brick. Sometimes I'll shut up and be quiet. You never know, okay? Just, you know, wait for it. It'll happen. But at the same time, it's okay, but who we are in Christ is more important than anything we can develop on our own. There's nothing we can develop on our own that's going to be equal to anything to Christ. And so, Marsha, we are really out of time. And so what we'll do a part two to this series a little bit later on. We'll do a part two to the origin of the Enneagram and take on questions and comments, stuff like that. But people want to get in contact with you, go ahead and give them that website one more time.
Okay, sure. Yes, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org is the website. And then on Facebook, if you just go in the Facebook search box and put in Christian Answers for the New Age, it should come up right away. And if you like and follow the page, especially if you pick C first, if you want to do that, you won't miss or aren't likely to miss my postings on the New Age. I do quite a few of them, almost one a day, although I do give myself a break now. So, I mean, I'm working on a post right now, so I'm usually working on something. And I have a lot of stuff there, too. You can just scroll down and read. Two ways to get more information.
Marsha, once again, thank you. And a lot of former New Agers love Marsha's site. They love it. There's a reason for it. And they're always blessed by the things that you bring out. And there are people who, you know, for you, like for you, because of you, there are certain things I would never do because of what you said and how you teach it. And, you know, there are people who say, well, you know what, Marsha, you're just being too legalistic. It's like, I'm not being legalistic. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth.
Nope.
And the truth hurts.
Yeah.
The truth hurts, you know. That I was laughing with a friend of mine. I said, lies are so much better. They make you feel so good. You know, and I was, you know, like, you know, do I look fat? No, not at all. You know, they make you feel great, but you do want to make, you do want to listen to the truth. You do want to listen to the truth. So, Marsha, once again, thank you for being with us on the show. We'll talk offline and do a part two of the show later on. Thank you, Sarah, for joining the conversation. Our listeners, I got a few texts today. People who are listening in, just, you know, listen to the conversation. I'm so glad you are. Again, we're not doubting your relationship with Christ. Please understand that we're not saying you don't love the Lord or anything like that. Please understand that. But what we are saying is that you do not need a number to dictate who you are. Christ dictates who you are. All right. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. God bless.